Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Man, there is no place I'd rather be than the house of the Lord to bring in 2024. Amen. Come on, man. Yeah, you know, I think back to all the places I used to be on New Year's Eve, man. It's like my goal was to get as high and as drunk and whatever, you know, and just try to really just knock it all away, you know, just get rid of it. And I'm just so thankful to not be in that place this morning. You know, I know who I am and I know where I'm going, and there's a plan and a purpose for my life. And I'm just learning to walk in that, and I'm just thankful for that. I'm not confused this year. I'm excited for 2024, and I hope you guys are too. So, amen. So, yeah, let's give the Lord a shout. Come on, 2024. It's going to get rowdy. Here we go. All right. So I'm not good at jokes like Fred is. So I'm gonna tell you guys a story. And I realized with some of these stories, you know, that I was gonna kind of tell my age up here today. But that's all right. It's all good. So I was thinking about all the different, you know, New Year's Eve, and one thing that stuck out to me, I was really surprised that I didn't really remember many. I don't remember what I did, where I was. But one that really stuck out to me, I'll never forget. I've always talked about it. In 1999, I was in the county jail here in Shelby County. And I don't know if you guys remember 1999, but that was the year the calendar was going to change to 2000. So we're all freaking out. Like, what's all these computers going to do? It's going to crash. You know, all our money's going to be gone. Well, I was the guy laying in my bunk thinking, man, dude, like, what if my sentence gets changed and I'm in here for life? And you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, man, like, what? Like, what if they can't figure it out? And what if they're just like, you know what? You're just a number, dude. We don't really care. We're not going to look into it. You're just stuck, you know? And I used to, I'd be like, man, what if the door's shut, you know, and they can't get the doors open? You know, I used to have just all these fears, you know, just because I didn't know where I was going in life. You know, I was just, I was lost, you know. And so anyway, I was going to share that story, and I'm like, all right, Lord, so I shared that. So what's the point of that? Like, what are you trying to, because I knew He was putting it on my heart. And that time, you know, anybody, 555 Gearhart Road is the address to the county jail here in town. And I know it really well, because at that point in my life, it was my home away from home. And we used to all joke about it, you know, and I'd been sentenced to my first jail time in the county on my 18th birthday. You know, most people were celebrating that, coming into adulthood. And I was getting sentenced to my first sentence of jail time. And so basically from 18 to 20, I mean, that was really my home away from home. And so anyway, I got to thinking about that. And you know, it's kind of neat that I'm sharing here, kind of bringing in the new year, because I teach my name is Derek Fink, for those that don't know me. And, you know, I teach the New Beginnings class here on Sunday mornings. We're going to start it up again after the membership classes. And it's just kind of like a fresh start class. You know, I always say, whether you've been saved one day or 50 years, you know, some of us just need a fresh start, you know, and I'm the king of needing fresh starts and do-overs. And so I'm thinking about this. I'm like, Lord, like, what do you want to say? You know, I'm thinking 555 Gearhart Road. And if you take my class, you'll know how into numbers I am. And so the number 5 means God's grace. It stands for God's grace, His favor, and His goodness in the scriptures. And still, I'm like, Lord, where are you taking this? You know, and then he kind of brings it to me. He's like, all right, so your address you're at now is 8555 Lockard Road. And I'm just like, man, Lord, like, what are you showing me? So I got to thinking, I'm like, all right, Lord, what are you trying to say with that 8? Why is that different? And I found this, and it says, in the Bible, 8 often is connected to new beginnings, regeneration, and resurrection. And I'm like, come on, Lord, you know what I'm saying? And I really fully believe our move to Sidney was that. It was a new start for our family. We had recommitted to coming to Russell Road at that time in our lives, and it's a decision we'll never regret. We love our home, and we just, anyways, it really was a regeneration, a resurrection. But I also read this. It's says, additionally, 88 times in the Bible, the number 8 symbolizes God's covenant with his people. And I love this. It says it's a reminder that everything has its place in God's plan. Man, that is just so good. You know, the scripture verse today is going to be Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I just really want to just communicate that today. Like, man, it's so easy to forget God's goodness or not trust God's goodness because the things and the storms that come in our lives. And that's my heart and my goal. And then, you know, I was kind of messing with God a little bit. I'm like, you know, God, that's pretty cool. You know, I love how you put numbers together and things together. But man, you left something out, man. Wouldn't it be really cool if it was 2028 instead of 2024? Like, you know, like God didn't have the right plan and like I was going to come up with it for him, you know? And he's like, Derek, just look again, man. And I'm like, what? I'm like, okay. So I look and he's like, add it up. So I added it up. It was 2 + 0 + 2 + 4 = 8. So I'm like, all right, God, you just quit showing off now. So, so anyway, I love that stuff. I just, you know, I'm crazy enough to believe that God's in the little things in our lives. You know, it's just, we can get like, oh, that you're just too spiritual, Derek. Like God's not worried, you know, God is worried about all that. And he's trying to speak to us any way he can. And our scripture verse for the day, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. I just want to kind of pray over us before we start here. And Lord, I'm thankful for this time, this opportunity to share your word. It's such an honor, Lord, and I don't take it lightly. And I just stand before you humble, Lord. And as Toby Mac says, Lord, this is your show. You go ahead and steal it, Lord, and do what you do, because I could never stand in your stead, Lord. You got the perfect plan, and I'm just here to do what you say. So Lord, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple parts of this verse that I just wanted to kind of stick out to us is, first, obviously, the word good. I just really believe that we got to understand God's goodness in these last days. And so obviously in this scripture, you know, the New Testament was written in Greek originally. And so it's the Greek word for good is agathos. It's used 102 times. But the one I want to focus on, because I'm going to read a lot of verses out of the Old Testament as well, and it's actually the Strong's word. It's tob, T-O-W-B. It's used 559 times. And one thing I've noticed when I've looked up words, a lot of times you have like a little section on the paper, like definition like this. It'll, you know, the Hebrew language has kind of a lot to say usually to kind of get you the meaning of the word. And so I've noticed this word good, and it's like this column, that column. Then I turn the page and then it's in this column. And I'm like, man, like it's really hard to just to define the word good. You know, it's that all encompassing. So I just summed it up. I took all those columns and I summed it up. And I said, you can really just sum it up that it denotes good in every sense of the word. Like, it just, all these things that God said was good. God, you know, he created the earth, he said it was good. He created animals, said it was good. He created man, said it was good. You know, all through the Bible, you'll see, hey, this and that, and it was good. And that's just God. You know, God is good. But, you know, it's the question is, you know, I think it's the age-old question. You know, it's, you know, hear people, why do good things happen to bad people? Or, God, why did you allow this in my life? And, you know, my attempt isn't just to answer that question, but just to give you a new perspective on that question today. And so the other word I wanted to check, just kind of check out with you guys is, it's the word all. We know that all things, you know, and like, what does all mean? You know, it's all means all, but I think the Strong's takes it a step further and it says, it means all in the sense of each and every part that applies. Man, I thought that was so good. And I love how it ends. It says, the emphasis of the total picture then is on one piece at a time. That's that goodness. All things, there's one piece is working at a time, coming together to paint a whole picture for our good. And I just love that. So good can only be defined by God. You know, one of the verses we're going to look at, it says, Jesus says, the only one that's good is God. So he's the only one that gets to say what's good. And I'm not always saying I understand that. You know, I don't understand why certain things that happen in my life are used for my good. And I'm not going to try to explain that. But, you know, I think what happens, you know, I was asking myself, you know, like, what happens? Why do we start to question God's goodness? Why do we ask that question? And, you know, I was just thinking about, I think a lot of it's just, you know, how we're raised and what we're taught in our culture. You know, I was thinking a lot about, you know, as we're kids, you know, our parents tell us, you know, that Santa brings presents to good little girls and good little boys. And if not, you're going to get a bag of coal, you know. So I think sometimes in life, you know, we get this bag of coal and we're like, oh, I must not have been good. You know, God must not be good in my life. And so we bring that into our Christianity, you know, and we think God's more like Santa Claus or this genie in the bottle where it's like, you know, I got three wishes. And like, and then we ask the wish and then we don't get it. You know, we want this or that in our lives. We want our kids to have this success or that. We want that perfect family, that mom and dad that love us unconditionally. And then so then we assume when that doesn't happen in our life, we instantly assume that God's bad and not good. And then we have a hard time just reconciling that. You know, I was thinking about, you know, I was telling you I was going to age myself today. So, I don't know if any of you guys remember. There was a game show, Press Your Luck, back in the day. And I don't know if you guys remember it, but it would go, the thing, basically this thing would be going around this board and it would have all this money and these bags of money and it would have these whammies, you know? And so you'd be sitting there with the number and you're like, all right, big money, no whammies, stop. And then you'd stop and you'd try to get all this money going. And then all of a sudden, you know, you'd have all this money saved up and you're ready to go. And you're like, all right, no whammies, big money, stop. And then the whammy hits and everything's gone. You're stuck there, left broke, busted, and disgusted. You know, the whammy done got you. You know, and I think about that. You know, some of these stories I'm going to share today, you know, it's just like, you're like, all right, Lord. You know, you're looking at these bags up there. You're like, big bags, Lord. You're like, all right, kids that go to college, get a good degree. Yeah, big whammy, you know, no money, no whammies, big money, stop. And then boom, the whammy comes. And instead of being in college, living their baseball career, your son's like me and he's 18 years old, sitting at the county jail being sentenced to his first time in the county jail. You know, the day you told your dad that you hadn't been to school in 60 days because you were dropping out and you weren't playing baseball anymore and his heart's just broken. You know, what happens when you get that whammy? You know, what happens when you're like, Lord, all right, big bucks. You know, I want a father and mother that just love me unconditionally. I want that, you know, I want to be raised right. And you're like, no whammies, no whammies, stop. And then there's the whammy. It comes and takes everything from you. That's tough. You know, I'll be the first guy to stand up here and say, it's really hard to trust what God says in his word and trust that he's good when those kind of things happen in our life. There's no way to sugarcoat that. I want to take you guys to Romans 2:4. It says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's only by God's goodness that we can be led to repentance. It doesn't say his discipline, his, you know, whatever. It says his goodness is what leads us to repentance. So therefore, if we fail to see this, and this is why I want to share what I'm sharing today, if we fail to see God's goodness, we'll fail to change our minds and our lives. We will not be able to return and return. We'll not be able to turn around and go another direction. Because you know what we'll always be? We'll always be scared of that other direction. Because we'll think in the end, there's a Santa Claus that's going to bring us coal. There's a genie that's not going to grant us our wishes. Or there's a whammy just waiting for us to take everything away from us. So we got to change that narrative so we can understand what's really going on. I'm a God that's good and I got your best in mind. Regardless of what you're feeling, regardless of what you're seeing, keep your eyes on me. And I just love that. It's just, you know, Joseph is one of those people that in scripture, we're going to go to Genesis 50:19-20. And, you know, I always say, if there's anybody in scripture that has a right to be, you know, mad at God and like, come on, man, like this isn't the big bucks I asked for. You know, this isn't the life I asked for. You know, he gave me a whammy, like gave me a bunch of whammies actually, you know, and it was just one thing after another in his life. And I love, this is kind of the conclusion that he comes to, you know, his brothers have, for the sake of time, I can't tell the whole story, but his brothers had sold him into Egypt and, you know, they're finally meeting back up and there's a big famine in the land and Joseph has all the food in Egypt to give to them. And they finally just found out that Joseph knows who they are and knows that they, you know, they sold him into slavery into Egypt. And this is what he says. So he says, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. You know, it's back to those, everything has its purpose and everything has its reason. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as of this day to save many people. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that people in our lives always have your best interest in mind. But I am here to tell you, just like Joseph, the person sitting next to you could have the absolute worst for you in mind, because those brothers did for Joseph. They were like, we got to get rid of this guy. We can't stand this guy. We're going to sell him, and we don't care what happens to him. But that doesn't mean that God's not using that person sitting right next to you to show you the goodness in his life. And I'm not asking you to trust that person next to you this morning. What I'm asking you to do is trust God, the giver of all good things, with that person to allow that person to be that good in your life, that goodness in your life. You know, I just kind of wrote down, like, let's not be so scared of everybody that we're just always like one eye. And I'm like Fred says, you know, man, they're just a conjurer, cheap tricks, just ready to rob me, you know. And I think we do that so many times. You know, preacher talks about money, or Johnny prays about money up here, and we're like, oh, here we go, they're trying to get our money, you know. and you're like, my precious, you know. It's none of it was yours to begin with, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, let's learn to trust God with that, instead of just trying to how we see it and how we feel and all that stuff. So I want scripture to just shower us with God's goodness today. So we're just going to run through some scriptures. We're going to start out with Mark 10:18. So, and I love this one. So it says, so Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know, only God can define good. That's just the bottom line. I mean, we can try to act like we know what good is. And, you know, I think of 8 or 5 5 5 Gearhart Road in my life. And there's a time I'd have told you that was the worst thing that ever happened to me. But now I'm telling you it's the best thing that ever happened to me. Cause I'm like, what, let's just say, you know, I was varsity baseball player my sophomore year. Only sophomore. They kept juniors down to put me up. Let's just say I'd have had some awesome training and I'd have made it. Let's just say I'd have made it to the major leagues and become a millionaire. And I'd have got my bag, you know, that everybody's always talking about. Would I have looked to God? Or did I look to God because I was a drug addict on my knees with nowhere else to go? Because I laid on that county jail floor for 3 days not knowing where I was or who I was. They had to stand me up for the head counts because I'd eaten so many pills I really should have been dead. But I just quit. I thought about that so many times in my life. I'm like, what if I'd have got everything that I thought I wanted? What if I'd have got it all the glory and the fame? And where would I be today? Would I be here with you guys? Or would I be just do whatever, thinking I'm the man, you know, and not knowing Jesus? And so I'm just going to read some of these scriptures over you, too. We're going to go to Psalm 34:18, and we can just roll through these. I love this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. We can taste that the Lord is good, scripture tells us. We can see that the Lord is good, the scripture tells us. 1 Chronicles 16:34, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. So Psalms 23:6. So it says, surely in goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, goodness is following us everywhere we go. It's like, you know, you don't have to be like, man, who's following me? You know, everybody's that conjurer, cheap tricks, looking to rob you. And God's not that way. Amen. So Psalms 33:5, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his goodness. It's full. It's full of the goodness of the Lord. Full everywhere we go. When it's full and the glass is full, it is full. It's everywhere. And then we got Psalm 119:68. You are good and you do good. You teach me your statutes. I mean, David said it. You are good and you do good. You know, this is the guy that was running for his life. He treated Saul like the king he deserved to be. He had the opportunity to kill Saul when Saul was trying to kill him. And he's like, nope, I ain't touching God's anointed. I ain't doing that. He didn't do anything to deserve Saul's wrath. He was just doing what God called him to do. Saul didn't like it, chasing him down, trying to kill him. He didn't say, well, Lord, you were good. Now you got this guy chasing me, trying to kill me. So I don't know, man. I got that coal. You know, he just gave me a whammy, you know. And so I don't think you're good anymore. Nope. He said, you're good and you do good. Last one, and I just love it because it starts out, do not be deceived, because we're so easily deceived. We're going to do, James 1:16-17. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It's just true. He's not a man that he should lie. Everything, it's not some fleeting shadow, like, oh, there was good, now it's gone. Oh, there's some good, no, now it's gone. It's not fleeting, it's not a shadow, it's real, it's tangible, that goodness is tangible. You know, and I think for me, and, you know, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, you know what I'm going to do is, from now on when I preach, I'm just going to come up here and try to take the plank out of my eye. You know, that's what scripture tells me. You know, I'm not here to take the plank out of your eye. And I just really hope that as I'm up here trying to take the plank out of my eye, hopefully some of that gets, you know, taken out of your eye as well. And I was just thinking, like, something that I think I struggle with is I read scripture and I'm like, okay, Lord, like, I believe it here, but do I really believe it here? You know, and what I mean by that is okay, I walk around, you know, and Fred's been talking about it a little bit. We're like, yeah, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know, all these things. God is good, you know. Hey, and all the time, God is good. You know, we have all these cliches. But I think sometimes because it's not right there in front of us, you know, it just, I don't even think I'm a good preacher, but I do feel like I can tell some stories. So I'm just going to tell a few stories. And I brought this letter. This is a Christmas letter we got from a lady on my team in real estate. And, you know, I just like, this is a real person, living, breathing person that I talk to, you know, almost, you know, not quite on a daily basis, but all the time. I know her family. And when I read this, it just kind of wrecked my heart because I'm like, I knew God was kind of leading me into saying, preaching on what I was going to preach on. And I'm just going to read a short version of it. I asked her permission. And so I just want to read this. It says, "We are excited to have two graduates this year." And I'm going to use different names. Bob graduated in May from high school and is enrolled at Cedarville University. He's currently deciding what to study. Jeff graduates this month from The Ohio State University with his degree in engineering physics. She's like, "No whammies, no whammies, big bucks, stop." And she got the big bucks. You know, she's got, I mean, how proud of that. You know, your son just graduated The Ohio State University. He's going to engineering and physics. And then I love that it says, she says he has a job lined up with an engineering firm in Northern Columbus. Both boys are dedicated, hard workers. We're so proud of them, excited to see what God does in their life. Man, how easy is that to be like, man, God is good, you know, good things happen, you know, I'm being rewarded here, you know, I didn't get no coal in my bag, I was a good little boy and girl this year. But I love what she says when she ends the letter: "Truly, we've had a great year. God is good," multiple exclamation points. "He's good even when things don't go as planned." We've had plenty of those kind of years too. I hate to throw that cliche around, only when I'm happy when things turn out well, because honestly, our circumstances don't dictate his goodness. He is good regardless. If you know him, you understand the joy and peace and comfort he brings even in the darkest places in our lives. I can attest to the fact that he is trustworthy and faithful always. I have no regret trusting his plans over my own. Man, that's just so good, because I feel like we do. We get caught up in this and we think, you know what, I only did a good job as parent if my kids is graduating and, you know, going on to, you know, this engineering job, making great money. And we get deceived, you know, like that. The verses, "Do not be deceived." So I had a couple other things I wanted to share here. Just again, I just like to share a story, like just what people say. A.W. Tozer, but he's an older saint, lots of books, just sold out life for God. You know, just it's like if you live that kind of life, you're gonna, what you say, I'm listening. You know, and he says, "The goodness of God is infinitely more wonderful than we will ever be able to comprehend." I love that. Martin Luther, he wrote the 95 Theses. He stood against the Catholic Church at that time and said, "I will not recant. I'm not going to take back what I said because I know what God told me to say." And I love what he says. He says, "This is true faith, a living confidence in the goodness of God." And I don't know Jerry Bridges as well, but I hear he's a very, you know, very successful author and just a brother in the Lord. But this is my absolute favorite. It says, "The very first temptation in the history of mankind was the temptation to be discontent. That is exactly what discontentment is, a questioning of God's goodness." You know, and I just think of Fred, you know, talking about the word complain and C-O-M, you know, just meaning to blame, and then P-L-A-I-N, just meaning your lot in life. And, you know, so many times we get caught up in this because things didn't go as we planned. We got the whammy instead of the big bucks. You know, we didn't get what we wished for from the genie in the bottle. And, you know, we didn't get what we wanted for Christmas. We got the lump of coal instead. And, you know, we start to get into that discontentment. We start to get into that complaining, and we start to really challenge and question God's goodness. So I got a couple stories. Joyce Meyer, the first one I want to share. And I've said it, if you've ever talked to me, she has one of the most wild, crazy stories I've ever read. Her testimony, it wrecks my heart every time I think about it. I just want to read this over you guys, and it's a short version of her testimony. This is Joyce Meyer. "I was sexually and mentally, emotionally, and verbally abused by my father as far back as I can remember until I left home at the age of 18. He did many terrible things, some of which are too distasteful for me to talk about publicly. But I want to share my testimony because so many people have been hurt and they need to realize someone has made it through their struggles so they can have hope. Hope's that joyful anticipation of good. What does abuse mean?" She says, "Abuse is defined as to be misused, used improperly, or to be wasted, to use in such a way as to cause harm or damage, to be treated cruelly. Anytime we are misused or used for a purpose other than what God intended, it's damaging. And I realize many people can relate to this. For some of you reading this article, I'm just telling your story. You know what it's like to live with a terrible, shameful secret that is eating you alive. My father was a mean, controlling, manipulative person for most of his life. He was unpredictable, unstable. And as a result, the atmosphere of our home was supercharged with fear because you never knew if what you did would make him mad or not. We always did what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. We watched what he wanted to watch on TV. We went to bed when he went to bed, got up when he got up, and ate the meals he wanted us to eat. Everything in our home was determined by his moods and what he wanted. The sexual abuse started when I was very young. When he decided I was mature enough, he took things even further. From this point until I was 18, he raped me at least once a week. My father, in whom I was supposed to be able to trust and who was supposed to keep me safe, was the person I came to fear the most. What I learned about love was actually perversion. My father told me that what he did to me was special because he loved me. He said everything he did was good, but it had to be our secret because no one else would understand and it would cause problems in the family. It became my burden not to let my pain cause problems in our family. As long as I kept this secret, I could get free from the pain of it. You may be wondering, Joyce, where was God in all this? He was there. He didn't get me out of the situation when I was a child, but he did give me the strength to get through it. It's true, my father's abused me and didn't love me and protect me the way that he should have. And at times it seemed no one would ever help me and it would never end. But God always had a plan for my life. And he has redeemed me. He has taken what Satan meant for harm and turned it into something good. See Romans 8:28, she says. He has taken away my shame and given me a double reward and recompense. That's why I'm telling my story, she says. You need to know how good God is and that your struggle is worth it. If you will give your life to Christ and really trust God, you can be completely healed and restored so you can have the life that Jesus died for you to have. Don't give up. Man, only a person that's been through what she's been through that sees God's goodness. Put it right, those words right there. It's the only way. You know, God's word tells us that he's good beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know, we just read it. You know, it's over and over and over again. You know, Jesus demonstrates this, I think, just more than anybody. He's the one that did it all for us. He's the one we look to. You know, in Matthew 26, and we're not going to go there. You guys can read it later, but this is, so Jesus is about to, you know, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to go to the cross. He's got these friends that he's walked all these, you know, 3 years with. He's healed them. He's healed their family members. And he's about to go through the greatest agony of his life. You know, I love how Fred told us a few weeks ago that Jesus actually came and got in our skin. There's nothing that we experience that Jesus hasn't experienced. The agony of the cross before him, he sweat drops of blood. And there's a word for that, and it's called hemotohidrosis. It's a condition that when we are just so overwhelmed, so in agony, that we start to sweat out and cells with blood in them actually come out of our body. That's how much agony he's about to face. So he's counting. He's like, guys, I'm about to go through some stuff. Will you guys just pray with me 1 hour? And so he goes and prays. He goes through this stuff. He's sweating these drops of blood and he comes back and they're all sleeping. The people around us were like, man, I asked you to help me. I thought you were going to be good to me. You know, say you're a Christian, but you did this to me. And we come back and we're like, man, you just couldn't pray 1 hour? And I'm like, man, how'd Jesus get through that? You know, because I don't think it's just because he's God. Because if Jesus came and just he could cakewalk through this because he was God, then he wouldn't be an example for us. But he had something going on here. And I love this. And it's kind of neat because I'm going to break these down and show you why David's talking about Jesus here. But it's David, but he's actually prophesying about Jesus. And I love this because this is what he says. I have set the Lord always before me. That's how he did it. He set the Lord before him. He was constantly looking at God.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sidney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-7000. 888-346-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.